We're continuing our performance review series focusing on the tight ends and specialists today on Locked On Bills.
You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Thursday to you, and thank you for making Locked On Bills your first listen every day. And as a reminder to you, we are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, folks, we are going to continue our performance review series focusing on tight ends and the Bills specialists, so the kicker, punter, and long snapper on today's podcast. And just like we did for the running backs and the quarterbacks to this point in our discussion, we are going to evaluate what the Bills have to determine what they need. So let's talk about these tight ends. And of course, we will focus our conversation heavily around the Bills' starting tight end, Dawson Knox, who was acquired 2019 third round pick, number 96 overall. Dawson is 26 years old. He turns 27 in November. As far as his contract, he's entering the first year of his new deal, the four-year, $52 million contract extension that he signed before the start of the season. And so this is when that big money kicks in for Dawson Knox. And obviously that comes with some expectations as to his involvement in the offense, which we will talk about here in just a moment. But first, his 2022 statistical production. He was on the field for 80% of the Bills' offensive snaps, had 48 catches, 517 yards, and six touchdowns. That six touchdowns are the fifth most receiving touchdowns among tight ends in the NFL, despite Dawson Knox only playing in 15 games. So the touchdown production remained pretty good for Dawson Knox to go with nearly 50 catches and over 500 yards receiving again in 15 games. Looking at some of his advanced numbers that I like to bring up that I think are relevant to kind of tell the story of the season that Dawson Knox had, his drop rate. This is kind of something we've talked about ever since Dawson has been in the NFL. And his drop rate was 9.4% last season, which is his second consecutive season under 10%. And so I think it's good that he's continued to keep it under 10%, especially where he was his first two seasons, but certainly an area where I think he can still come down a little bit. But encouraging that the improved consistency that we saw in 2021 carried over to 2022. One of the numbers that I'm really satisfied with Dawson Knox in 2022 was his reception percentage on targets. He hauled in 73.8% of the targets he received in 2022, which is a career high for him. It topped last year's mark of 69%, which was up from 54% in his first two seasons. So that has come up considerably. We're talking about a 20% increase in reception percentage in 2022 for Dawson Knox compared to where he was in his first two seasons. So I do appreciate the efficiency that has come with the opportunities that Dawson Knox has received over the last couple of seasons. Obviously, like I mentioned, a career high in 2022. The Bills quarterback Josh Allen's passer rating when targeting Dawson Knox was 108.3, which was seventh in the NFL among tight ends with at least 50 targets. And also his reception percentage that I just mentioned, 73.8%, that was also seventh in the NFL among tight ends with at least 50 targets. So good things continue to happen when Josh Allen throws the football to Dawson Knox. Now, one other number that I want to bring up here when it comes to Dawson Knox is that he committed zero penalties in 2022, which is a good thing, obviously, right? You never want to commit penalties, but it was kind of a problem for him in 2021 where he had five penalties. And so I like that he's cut those down. I think he had four the previous year. So penalties have come down for Dawson Knox, just like his efficiency has come up. So there's still a good trajectory here in a lot of ways when it comes to Dawson Knox. Now, as for his 2022 review, I think the first thing you have to mention is that he had a quiet start to the season, had some injuries early on, obviously the unexpected passing of his younger brother, and then you factor in a new play caller in Ken Dorsey, and the production early on in the season wasn't really there. I'm not really sure it was his fault. I think there were some circumstances that played into it. I don't think it was a situation where Dawson Knox wasn't performing at a level that commanded more opportunity, but there were some dynamics earlier in the season that got his year off to a bit of a slow start, but the projection really ramped up down the stretch, finished the year with a streak of 5 games in a row with the touchdown, which has only ever been done by Travis Kelce and Rob Gronkowski in the history of the NFL among tight ends. Add Dawson Knox to the list. He's one of 3 players to ever catch a touchdown pass in 5 consecutive games at the tight end position in the history of the NFL. This is where I would kind of boil it all down to when it comes to reviewing Dawson Knox's 2022 campaign, is that at a minimum, he showed that his breakout season in 2021 wasn't a fluke. He stacked 2 good seasons on top of each other. Now, that doesn't really bring into the conversation whether or not he should have had more opportunity and that his impact couldn't have been bigger. I understand those types of conversations, but at a minimum, he showed that the consistency and the production that he was able to deliver in 2021 was sustainable for another season. And so that breakout year wasn't a fluke. I think we're getting a good picture of what Dawson Knox is capable of in the NFL. So when it comes to his 2023 outlook, the first thing that I have written down is I want 85 targets for Dawson Knox. 85. He's kind of flirted with about 70 the last couple of years. And if he gets to 85, that winds up being exactly an average of 5 targets per game across 17 games. And I think that's a healthy number for what the Bills should be targeting when it comes to Dawson Knox, given the contract that he's getting, and also being mindful that this is a wide receiver centric offense. For as much as we've kind of fantasized about the idea of more 12 personnel and a heavier amount of market share going to the tight ends, it just continues to not really happen. And so I think this is what we can expect, which is just a little bit of an uptick from where he's been over the last couple seasons. But I think if he gets 85 targets, I think that's a good place for him to be in terms of that market share. I'm also looking for him to maintain the efficiency growth that we've seen that I've already talked about year over year. And I still think there's some areas that can improve, particularly with the drop percentage. I'm glad that he's under 10%, but I'd like to see it closer to 5%. So I'd like to see a little bit more consistency there. And I think he has more to offer this team down the field and down the seam than he gets the opportunity to do. And so I know that Dawson's a good player after the catch and can kind of uncover quickly and has some good red zone route running, but I think is a, you know, between the 20s player, a guy that can really stress the middle of the field, push the seam. He's got the size and athleticism to do that. And there's been some really good moments when he's had those chances. And so I'm interested in seeing Dawson Knox as a guy that gets involved a little bit more in the intermediate to deeper areas of the field in the passing game. But at the end of the day, I think it comes down to this. I want Dawson Knox in 2023 to be a top 10 NFL tight end. And I think if he gets 85 targets, that will happen, at least when you measure the production. On the blocking side of things, I am mostly satisfied with his contributions. You know, I think there was some discussion about maybe the reason his market share earlier in the season was down is because he was asked to stay in and block, but that's not really true at all. His pass blocking is fine, but I think where you've seen really good growth from Dawson is his ability to win as a inline blocker, as a move blocker, getting out in space. I think he's been pretty efficient in those areas, and I really appreciate the fact that that efficiency has went up while the penalties have also gone down, because a lot of those penalties, the 5 that we talked about in 2021, they were holding calls on blocks that brought back some explosive plays, and it was good to see that kind of removed from the equation. I hope you've been getting in on the action over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is my favorite daily fantasy resource. How does it work? You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available, and Prize Picks offers projections on every single sport imaginable, and you can make an entry in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Just don't forget to enter promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. All right, let's talk about the Bills' depth at tight end behind Dawson Knox. So Quinton Morris and Tommy Sweeney. We'll start with Quinton Morris, a 2021 undrafted free agent that was on the practice squad in 2021 but made the active roster in 2022. And that was a somewhat of a surprise when you consider the Bills in the offseason bringing in O.J. Howard, Tommy Sweeney being an established player on the roster. For Quinton Morris to win the job and it mean that Tommy Sweeney was going to be a healthy scratch pretty much every game and that the Bills would cut O.J. Howard, that was a bit of a surprise entering the season. So let's talk about the season that was for Quinton Morris. 24 years old, he turns 25 in January. He's entering year two of a two-year, $1.6 million deal. As far as his 2022 statistical production, he was on the field for 30% of the Bills' offensive snaps, 75% of the special team snaps. So you get four-phase special teams contributions from your tight end too, which I think is something that you really enjoy about him, given the contract and obviously a smaller role within the offense. He caught 8 passes for 84 yards and a touchdown, so not, obviously not a huge part of the equation when it comes to opportunities in the passing game. So when it comes to his 2022 review, I mean, I think he has some appealing qualities, despite not getting a ton of opportunity, but the flashes have been pretty good. There's some athleticism there that pops. He obviously brings special teams ability, which is great for a player that's going to be part of your active game day rosters. But I would say that I don't find Quinton Morris to be an impact blocker, right? And so when you think about your tight end too and how they complement your starter, especially for an offense that really hasn't leaned into much 12 personnel, you'd like for him to specialize at something, right? And the receiving opportunity, I don't know, is ever going to be there for him, but he also doesn't necessarily provide above average blocking skill, right? So there's things to like about him, but there's a fairly incomplete skill set when it comes to his contributions to the roster. Now, he's a low-cost player, a young player, so you like those qualities, but what's the impact that he truly makes, right, as a tight end too? And I think when you figure out the answer to that question, you can appreciate that it's a low-cost position for the Bills within their roster. Now, when it comes to their 2023 outlook for Quinton Morris, my question is, how can the team get more out of him? Do you want to give more targets to Quinton Morris? Can that unlock your offense in new ways? Maybe. But we've not seen this team have really a commitment to utilizing more than one tight end. I'm not sure the blocking component of his game is ever going to be his strong suit, especially as an inline player. Now, I think he gives you better value out in space than he would as an inline blocker, but you know, is a player that is going to be active on game days, can you really expect to get high-level contributions as a blocker? I don't know if that's ever going to be in his wheelhouse. And the real kind of prevailing thought when I consider Quinton Morris is, are you comfortable with being one snap away from him being the starter? To which I would answer, you might have to live with that idea, right? As the Bills roster continues to get more expensive and the cap gets tight, you can't really put a whole lot of cap dollars and resources into your backup tight end. So It's an interesting proposition because I don't think in a perfect world you love being one snap away from Quinton Morris being your starting tight end. But at the same time, how much more can you really put into this position group given what you're now paying Dawson Knox and, of course, an overall very expensive roster? Moving on to Tommy Sweeney, a 2019 seventh round pick, number 228 overall. He's 27 years old. He turns 28 in July. His contract is expired. He's completed his four-year, $2.6 million deal. In 2022, he played in five games. And in those five games, he was on the field for 68 snaps on offense, 51 snaps on special teams, wound up having one catch for 7 yards. As far as his 2022 review, I mean, the guy got jumped by Quentin Morris, a draft pick that, you know, the team, or at least McDermott being Josh Allen, they speak favorably of Tommy Sweeney. But when it came down to it, he got jumped by a UDFA from 1 year ago, despite being more of an established player that has a lot of time with the team and in the offense. Most weeks, he was a healthy scratch. He's a replacement-level tight end three. I know he's a good locker room guy. I know his teammates love him, but to me, he's extremely upgradable, and I think the Bills should be looking at utilizing a mid-round draft pick on a tight end with the intent of that player being rostered as your tight end three, and maybe in a year, really challenge Quentin Morris to be the tight end two, and maybe that's how you can feel better about your overall depth at the position. As far as Tommy Sweeney's 2023 outlook, I can see the Bills bringing him back on a minimum type deal because of, you know, what we've heard McDermott and Allen and Bean say about him, but I would want an upgrade. I would maybe bring him back on that deal, but draft somebody in the middle of rounds that I fully expect to beat him out in camp. And maybe you think about Tommy Sweeney as a practice squad player. So what is my overview on this position group? What do the Bills have? Well, I think they have a really solid starter in Dawson Knox that I still think has some upward mobility in terms of making an even greater impact on the offense. What do they need? Well, the way I'd answer that is they need more of a commitment to involving Dawson Knox. They also need to challenge the depth here, especially at tight end three. I love that idea of a mid-round pick that you think can bump Tommy Sweeney off the roster, even if you bring him back, that can really challenge Quentin Morris in a year to be your tight end two. What do I like about this position group? Dawson Knox. I like Dawson Knox. I also like that you have a value contract in Morris and how he helps the football team on special teams, although he may actually, in a perfect world, be a tight end three and not a tight end two. What I don't like about the makeup of the position group is that I think you look at the depth and you come away with a clear thought that it's upgradable. And again, like I said, you might have to live with that, but at the end of the day, it's upgradable depth. And I think that the Bills can do it. It's a really good tight end class this year. A really good class. So I think there could be some value in the fourth or fifth round, and I think the Bills need to participate in drafting one of those young players that have some upside and upward mobility. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Let's close this thing out by looking at the Bills' specialists, Tyler Bass, Sam Martin, Reed Ferguson. And because we only had three players to evaluate at tight end, I thought it was a good opportunity to kind of tie in these specialists into this episode. And then tomorrow, we're going to do wide receivers. And so that'll be a big discussion with Diggs and Davis and Khalil Shakir, McKenzie, Brown, Beasley, Jameson Crowder. There's a lot of players to get into with that discussion. So don't miss that tomorrow. But figured this would be as good a chance as any to kind of bring in these specialists. So let's talk about Tyler Bass, the Bills kicker, a 2020 sixth round pick, number 188 overall. He's 25 years old. He turns 26 this month on the 14th. As far as his contract, he's entering the final year of his rookie deal that pays him $3.5 million over four seasons. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about that contract because I think Tyler Bass could be an extension candidate that you could lock him in for several years down the road, and at the same time create a modest amount of cap relief this year based on how you structure that deal. Not predicting that will happen, but I'm saying there's a possibility that the Bills could do that. Now, here's the deal with Tyler Bass. He's going to be a $5 million per year kicker. Do you want to do that? As this roster gets more expensive, do you want to commit $5 million a year to your kicker? It's a question that Brandon Bean's going to have to consider. Now, I think we can all agree that Tyler Bass has been a very good kicker for the Bills, has made some very meaningful kicks. There's a level of trust that you have when he goes out on the field, and you love that he's got a big leg and he can hit from distance. So there's a lot to like. He's a young, good kicker, but do you want to pay him $5 million a season? Based on the contract that Jason Myers just got with the Seahawks, which was over $5 million per year, and Justin Tucker being a $6 million a year kicker, I think it's fair to say that the market has been established that the better kickers in the league are going to get $5 million a year. And so I think that Tyler Bass kind of falls right into that conversation. As far as his 2022 stats, he made 87% of his field goals, and that would have been a little higher, but he had two misses under 39 yards due to weather. And so that hurts his percentage, kind of like last year. He was right at that 87% mark, but had some really challenging kicks, like in windy, wet conditions that were hard for him to make, and he didn't make them. He's obviously made his share of poor weather kicks as well, but you know, some of those dynamics will kind of bring down his percentage, although 87% is pretty solid. He was 12 of 14 from beyond 40. So, you know, I think it's 2 of 3 from beyond 50, and then missed one of his kicks between 40 and 49 yards. So I think that speaks to the quality of kicker that he is and how his percentage was brought down by some of those short misses, one against the Jets in the rain and one against the Bears, if I'm not mistaken, where it was a game played basically in a freezer box. But he missed two extra points this year, so he's 48 of 50 on extra points after he made like 105 in a row, wind up missing two extra points this year. As for his 2022 review, he had a great season. He did have misses in the losses to the Jets and the Dolphins that may have impacted the results of those games, considering they were, you know, they were tight losses. But I wouldn't say the Bills lost the game because Tyler Bass missed those kicks, but it certainly could have had an impact on the result. But I think that said, he's also made his share of clutch kicks. I think he had three game-winning field goals this past season and was mostly very, very consistent. And I think when you talk about Tyler Bass, it's of course, field goal kicking. That's what matters the most. But you know, they ask him to do some different things on kickoffs. As we've talked about many times, the Bills aren't the type of team that just gives you the 25-yard line with a touchback. They're going to force you to return the football, and that puts some stress on Tyler Bass to kick it directionally, to get some hang time on it, to get it up in the air, to allow the coverage unit to get down there so that the Bills can pin you within the 25-yard line. And I think he, for the most part, did a very good job with that. I think the Bills were among the best teams in the league when it comes to average yards per kick return and opponents average starting field position on their drives. And I think a lot of that's because of Tyler Bass and some of that directional kickoff stuff and how the Bills will cover kicks. I will say that he also had a couple that went out of bounds too. So I think that's a consequence of playing that style, but I think the risk reward and how much benefit it gave the Bills outweighs a couple of those moments where, oh crap, well, kicked it out of bounds, and now the other team gets the ball at the 40. As far as his 2023 outlook, it's more of the same. I continue to be real satisfied with Tyler Bass as the Bills kicker. Now, this contract thing, that'll be a big decision for Brandon Bean. Let's talk about Sam Martin, the Bills punter. 2022 free agent signing, 32 years old. He turns 33 later this month in February on the 27th. His contract, it's expired. He completed his one-year, $1.3 million deal, and he had a good season for the Bills, an average of 47.7 yards per punt, 42.2 net average per punt, 4.22 average hang time. That's a little bit low in terms of NFL standards, but when you introduce the Western New York playing half your games at Highmark Stadium, you know, it's going to be a little bit tougher based on some of the elements that he faces. But I think the most important metric when it comes to Sam Martin's 2022 season is that he was ninth in the NFL among punters in EPA per punt. And I think that speaks to some of the situational opportunities that, you know, the raw data is good, but sometimes you don't need a certain amount of hang time or average or net. You want more placement. You want to force a fair catch. There's different dynamics that come into play. And I think that is best measured by recognizing that he was ninth in the NFL in EPA, which is expected points added among punters. As far as his 2022 review, and I've said this before, I think that Sam Martin delivered the best season by a Bills punter since Brian Moorman back in 2011. I think the Bills punter situation has been really bad since then. And he delivered a season that made me finally feel like the Bills had at least an average to maybe even above average NFL punter, and obviously did a really good job as a holder, which, as we've talked about at length in this podcast, is an important function of what a punter is asked to do. And under those circumstances, kind of coming in late in the process, in the offseason, being able to get that chemistry down with Tyler Bass, and, you know, Tyler Bass not really missing a beat this year, a lot of quality holds from Sam Martin in big moments, you know, some weather situations as well. You know that it's something that he takes seriously, and I think he did a good job maintaining that field goal unit consistency. As far as his 2023 outlook, I hope he's back. I'm not sure he's going to take the same deal, right? A very small one-year, $1.3 million deal, but I hope he does. Otherwise, the Bills are going to be searching for a punter, and we all know the questions that come with it. Obviously, you're concerned that they can come in and be a good punter, but, you know, can they get the rapport down with Tyler Bass as his holder, right? That's, to me, the ability to punt is right there with your consistency as a holder. We've seen good kickers in the NFL have the wrong holder, and they're impacted, right? That's happened pretty much with every kicker that Corey Bohork has went to, right? We've seen this happen. So I would like to be at ease and have Sam Martin back, but who knows if he's going to be willing to take that very modest deal again next year. Lastly here, Reed Ferguson. This is going to be a quick conversation. Bills long snapper, 2016 undrafted free agent, 28 years old, turns 29 in March. As far as his contract, he's entering year two of a three-year, $4 million deal. And simply put, he's an excellent long snapper. There's never any bad snaps. He's got a C on his jersey. He's a team leader. He's a guy that has become a fan favorite as well with how he's interacted with fans and made himself available. And you know, as a long snapper, to be a leader on the team, you kind of just sense that. He's a high-quality long snapper. I have no concerns here at all when it comes to Reed Ferguson. And when you can say that about your long snapper, you keep that long snapper forever. So what are my overview here when it comes to the Bills specialists? Well, what do they have? They have an excellent kicker in Tyler Bass. They have an excellent punter in Sam Martin with an expired contract, and an excellent long snapper in Reed Ferguson that should be on the team for as long as he wants to snap in the NFL. What do the Bills need? Well, they need to consider an extension for Tyler Bass. And that's a hard conversation to have because good kickers, reliable kickers, they matter. They help your team win games. They score points. You love Tyler Bass. You drafted him. He's been good. But do you want to pay your kicker $5 million a year? Brandon Bean's going to have to figure that out. They also need to figure out if they want to bring back Sam Martin, or if they can bring Sam Martin back, or if not, find a new punter. What do I like about the makeup of this group? Well, I think collectively this past season you had quality contributions from all three at a very low cost. A very low percentage of your cap was committed to these players, and you got really high quality contributions. What I don't like is potentially needing to replace both Sam Martin and Tyler Bass over the next two seasons. Potentially Sam Martin this year, potentially Tyler Bass next year. I like being secure and confident with both the kicker and punter. And that's a world that we lived in this past year, but it could look different moving forward based on the appetite that Brandon Bean has for committing, you know, a chunk of the cap to these players. And when you consider, like we've talked about, the expensive, how expensive this roster is, you know, where do you have to make concessions? And in this podcast in particular, I think we brought up some of those areas: backup tight end, kicker, punter, right? That's stuff that you got to think about as you try to make sure that you have the talent necessary around Josh Allen to remain you know, one of the top teams in the AFC. So there you have it, folks. Hope you enjoyed this one. We're coming on back tomorrow with wide receivers, so don't miss it. Make sure that you're subscribed. We'd love it if you took a second to rate, review, share the podcast. Go Bills, and I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.